And we're back with another interview. I really enjoy getting the opportunity to speak to people who are interesting and great. We're going to speak to Dan Cumberland today. And Dan, first of all, how are you doing, good sir?
I am doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be here with you.
Yeah, well, do you want to know something? It's a great way to get to meet interesting people. And you and I don't really know each other too well yet. And that's why I brought you on here, because I think you're doing something very interesting, something that the people listening to our podcast and our Marketplace Superheroes community are going to get a lot of value from today. So I think the best thing to do is to let us know where you're coming in from. And secondly, who do you help and how do you help them?
I love it. Yeah. So I'm dialing in from Seattle, Washington, in the upper north left corner of the United States. I help people figure out what to do with their lives. That's the simplest way to put it. Whether that means, I think people that find my work are looking at changing jobs or making some change to their career, or they just feel like they're missing something when it comes to work and want to find more fulfillment, more purpose, more engagement in what they do. So some are looking for, you know, massive career change, changing industries, you know, 180 degree or more, you know, changes in the direction they're traveling. Others are just want to make some tweaks and are thinking about, like, how do I get more out of the time that I'm spending at work? And so, yeah, it's a whole breadth of, you know, ages and demographics, you know, from there. Typically, I'd say people in their find me in their 30s and beyond, but also some of the younger demographic when you're thinking about college and those early career choices as well.
Yeah. And your site and what you do is from the Meaning Movement. That's what we're talking about today as well, yeah, right?
That's right. That's right.
Love the name. I love the name. The reason I felt you're a great person to bring on here, number one, I wanted to get to know you because I think you've got a really interesting take on all this. And secondly, I just know our audience are going to enjoy your take on this because for many people working here, like they're building a business part-time in many cases. And I know myself included, when I was working in a job many, many years ago and people are doing it now, yeah, they don't necessarily love what they're doing. And I thought, you know, how can we begin to help people make that change? Because that is a real shift that people have the opportunity to make. So if you were going to help somebody from scratch, where would you begin on this journey? Where can we begin today to help people begin to identify and make some of these changes in their work?
Yeah, love it, love it. So first, I think it's really helpful to get clear on what is it that you want from your work and from your life. I think that anytime we talk about work, we're always also talking about questions of identity and who you are, as much as, you know, so some people really approach those as two different things. You know, I have my work life, then I have the rest of my life. But really, wherever you go, there you are, as the saying goes. And so when you're at work, the work at its best is an expression of who you are. Work when it's most fulfilling, most rewarding, most fun, is when you get to bring all of yourself to what you do, whether that be, you know, working as at a job or starting your own thing, starting your Amazon store or your other entrepreneurial endeavors. And so starting with the question of, you know, what are you doing now? What's working there and what's not working there? And then thinking through, so what do you want to change and what's the desired outcome? What would life look like at its best if you could, you know, start with a blank slate and just think up, you know, how do you like spending time? What's the work-life balance that's ideal for you? I think all of those are really important things to think about. But then when it comes to actually like the what you do with it, right? Because we could say, yeah, I just want to sit on the beach all day and drink margaritas. Like that's not necessarily very realistic, at least not, you know, not for most people, at least not at the stage, probably when you're listening to this podcast. And so there is that piece of like, you know, we can't just, you know, have pie in the sky dreams, but we have to find the intersection to reality. And I think that there's, in my research around work and meaning, there's four areas where people get the most, find meaning, purpose in what they do. And you can find these four areas in all different kinds of expressions of work. And so I'll run through these. I think could be a good kind of jumping off point for us. And then from there, you know, we can dig in. But you can use these in any type of work, both, you know, for people listening who are part of Marketplace Superheroes, in the part of this community, in the work that you're doing with building your store. You could do this with your other job, or if you have another job, if you're, you know, doing this on the side, or whatever, to find more meaning, more clarity, more purpose in what you're doing there. Or if you're looking at, yeah, I want to change my job, I want to start my, you know, stop my online pursuits on the side and kind of have these two parallel tracks, whatever it looks like. But they're four P's. I used to be a pastor, so they all start with P's because that's how you do it in a sermon. But it's the people, the profits, the process, and the product. And I know product, that's a word that I might use it a little bit differently than your community typically sure, uses it sure. here. But I'll just run through each of these. The first is the people. It's the people that you work with, that you work alongside, the people that you're interacting with day to day, whether those be customers, if you're in a customer facing role, whether it be team members, coworkers, managers, managees, all of those kinds of things. So how you engage with those people, those relationships can be a really great source of meaning, purpose, and connection. Some people love their job, are passionate about their job simply because they love the people that they get to work with and interface with on a daily basis. Second, the profits. This one's, you know, pretty simple. It's what you get from the job, both money, but also like the lifestyle that it affords, the place, you know, benefits, you know, insurance, a roof over your head, all the things that you know. I think that the probably as we think about work, that's probably the easiest category. Well, why do we work? We work to make money, right? But then the next is the process. So we have the people, the profits, and then the process, and that's the day in, day out of actually doing the work. It's easiest to think about this when you think about like an artist that just loves to get in the studio and paint, or a coder who just loves to, you know, get into code and just get to work. But it translates to all different kinds of work. Maybe it's, you know, finding that next product that you're going to sell in your Amazon store, or you know, setting up, you know, different partnerships, or whatever it might be. But it's the actual process, the day in, day out of doing the work. Some people just love different aspects of their job. They love that they get to do that one specific thing all the time, or a majority of their time. That can be a really great place to get, you know, to find meaning in their work. And then finally is product. And when I use product, I think of it as like, what is the business? What is the job producing? So think of it in terms of work product, more so than, you know, the product that you're selling in your Amazon store, though that is a piece of it. If you're solving a problem for other people in the world, if you're making the world a better place, easy to think about this in terms of nonprofits and helping professions, that you're solving a very, you know, sometimes very tangible problem, taking away someone's pain or whatever it might be, knowing that you're contributing to a cause that you believe in. And so between all four of those categories, the people, the profits, the process, and the product, if you were to rate, you know, what you're currently doing on a scale from zero being like, yeah, I don't like any of the people that I work with, they actually drive me nuts and it's horrible, to like 10, these are like, these people, I would die for them. Go through and like think about with each of these categories, how fulfilling is your work expression, what you're doing right now, in each of these categories from 0 to 10, that can give you a really good score of like, okay, here's where things are really working for me, and here's where some things aren't working as well for me. And that then can give you some clarity to think about, okay, I can dig in a little bit more here by maybe adjusting my job, emphasizing different aspects of it, finding, you know, spending more time with my coworkers to improve those relationships, changing what I do. So I organize my time more around the process piece, where I get to do the work, that the part of the work that I really love. All of those things are a great way to take whatever you're doing right now and lean in more to these places that are even more fulfilling for you, but then also to think about where you are right now and the different work experiences that you have through this same lens can give you a lot of clarity on the kind of work that's most meaningful for you. So then you think about making a change. You can say, okay, these are the kinds of people that I want to be around. These are the kind of, this is the kind of process, the process of the work that I want to be engaged with. You know, this is the kind of product that I want to be a part of producing. So that's, you know, hopefully a framework that can really help and really give it a tangible, I don't know, exercise to get people started.
No, I think it's excellent, Dan. I really do. I mean, for some people, they haven't thought about this before and they just kind of ended up in a job. I know for myself personally, that's sort of happened with me because I was playing music and I was working in a job part-time to fund that.
Yeah,
and of course, then you might have guessed the band didn't work out and all the rest. You might have guessed that. And of course, I'm pretty lost, right? Because that, if you want to look at the what you have there, the process of what I did day in, day out was really boring, but I had a profit of the band and the music was what I was focusing on outside of my job. And so the people in the job that I was in actually were a really huge part. I really liked the people I worked with. You know, the profits, not so much, right? The process at that time as a data processor was boring, but I was really good at it because I just got really quick and all the rest. But I think as well, like even if you're working in a job now, it's really not fulfilling you in any way. You can start to look at this. And I think what I took away from that is you can assess and actually more importantly, identify, okay, well, which one of these is the weakest, let's call it, which one is really upsetting me right now. And therefore you can start to look at roles or businesses or whatever that will give you more of that. Cause you used examples as well, like artists and people like that, the people that get into the flow state, I think you were sort of describing in the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, and that's huge. So I think that's great. And let me just imagine if I'm one of our members and I'm building my Amazon business and I really took something from what you said. And I'm thinking to myself now, okay, Dan, I'm going to keep a job of some kind to help me fund this entrepreneurial pursuit, but I want to make a change. I want to improve, you know, my work life. I think a lot of people might say, oh, I'm not skilled enough, or I don't have enough education, or I don't have, it's always, I don't have enough something. What would you say to somebody who is looking, who's assessed this and may knows the change they want to make, but they have those different things holding them back? What can they do? What can they do is the question.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is a lot of times people find me with, you know, with the kind of assumption that they have to make a big change. And I'm not saying whether you do or you do not. It all very much depends on, you know, what you want and really approach career and all of life is it's a choose your own adventure. There isn't a right way. And so there isn't a way that I could say, oh yeah, you absolutely need to change your job or you absolutely should not do that. Right. Cause it's, you know, you get to make it up as you go. And that's a lot of the fun of it. But what I was going to say is that a lot of people find me with the assumption that they need to change their job. I don't work one-on-one with folks anymore. More focused on my course and podcast, you know, helping one to many as much as I can. But when I was working one-on-one with people, they would come with these questions and assumptions. And often what we found is that as we go through a process of really identifying a lot of these things, helping them understand who they are and what's meaningful to them, they find that even within their current career path, so maybe it's not at that specific job, maybe they just need to, you know, make a smaller change than what they originally thinking, or even within their own job, once they understand who they are and the kind of impact they want to have on the people around them and through their work, a mindset shift takes place that frees up a lot of space for them to get a lot more purpose out of their work. And often what's driving their need to search that the question that brings them to me into this whole conversation is not even so much of their own desire, but more like that there's roles or rules that they're operating under that they feel obligated to fulfill. And I think that's a big piece of this is, so when I would say to you, so if you're a part of the marketplace superhero community, going back to this this example you've set up for me here, is I would ask, you know, What is it that's driving your desire to change? What is it that you need to change? Some of it might be, okay, you want more time to focus on your you know, on building your business. So maybe you need to, you know, maybe there's some logistics part of it. That's one thing. And I think that'd be, you know, that would take the conversation a certain direction. But another might be that you feel like you have to do this, or you have to have a certain kind of job, or you have to, you know, live a certain kind of lifestyle, you know, work a 9-to-5 just because that's what a good citizen or a good worker or, you know, because if you don't have a 9-to-5, then you might put yourself in a place where your resume wouldn't look good and you might not be able to get another job or whatever it might be. We all have these stories about the kind of work that we are supposed to do that don't necessarily, that aren't necessarily like grounded in reality. And so what can be really helpful is to spend some time thinking through, what are your rules about what you should and shouldn't do, what you can and can't do when it comes to work, and which of those rules, you know, are rules that you would actually choose, and which are just rules that you've absorbed from being a part of culture, your family, institutions, you know, you've been to, been a part of, organizations that you've been a part of, jobs that you've had. And what we often find is that we have all of these rules about how we should and shouldn't live and should and shouldn't work, that we haven't necessarily consciously chosen, but we've just absorbed. And so I would invite you to say, to take some time and just get all of that out on paper. Just literally get a blank piece of paper right at the top, work rules, right? And just put everything on there. Maybe you have, you know, a story that you tell yourself that you have to be, you know, super loyal and never leave your job. And maybe you won't even take, you're afraid to take that entrepreneurial leap because you feel like you have to be loyal to your boss and you signed a contract, you know, to be there for 5 years or whatever, and it's only been 3 years and you know, or whatever it might be. So you have these things that you're trying to live into that you don't necessarily want for yourself. Maybe you have I guess ideas around how long you stay at a job, or how many job, you know, changes you can have over a career, or whatever it might be, because that's how your parents lived. Maybe you have a parent that worked the same job for 47 years, and so for you to think of quitting a job after 8 years or whatever feels crazy. Whatever it might be, just get all of these rules on papers. I don't change jobs. You know, changing jobs is irresponsible. You have to have a certain lifestyle. You have to have a certain income, be in a certain income bracket, whatever it might be. Just get all of those out on paper. And then after you get them all out, go back through that list and assign to each one as much as possible names of people, names of places or organizations or institutions or communities or cultures. And just think about, like, where in your story, where in your experience could that have come from? And if you're not sure, but you kind of think of a certain person, maybe a boss or a parent or a teacher, just go ahead and put it on a piece of paper. We're not going to be sharing this with anybody. We're not going to be, you know, posting this on the internet. It's just for you. But the more we can pin those ideas, those rules, those voices, those stories to people and say, okay, this, you know, this story came from this person in my past, the more power we have to choose whether or not that is a helpful rule for us to continue to live under and to use to guide our choices moving forward. So then as you go through that list, and you might find some that are super helpful and that you want to, you know, you want to hold to, you might even decide you want to add some new ones to the list, but just to be able to say, okay, here's some things that are really, you know, have had a lot of power in my life, and I get to choose whether or not I want to continue to give them power. And just by giving words to it, by writing it down, by putting names next to it, gives you the ability to choose how much power that has over you, which then creates space for you then to start exploring what other options are. And people who sometimes feel really stuck and uncertain of what to do next, just by doing an activity like that, all of a sudden can feel so much more freedom to take a chance, take a risk to start, you know, start actually looking for a job, not just looking to say that you're looking, but actually looking and imagining what it'd be like to have this or that role, to reimagine, reinvent themselves. So I want to invite you, you know, if you're in one of those kind of stuck places, an activity like that can be just profoundly liberating, especially because some of these rules will be contradictory. You'll have one rule saying that you need to live your life one way, and another rule saying you need to live your life another way, and you're trying to do both at the same time, and so, which means that you just can't do anything because you have you know, two contradictions that they're trying to please at the same time. So hopefully that's a helpful direction for people.
It's fantastic is what it is. It's not just good. It's fantastic because you're right. I mean, it took me maybe 15 years to reprogram some of the beliefs that I had in my own mind about working. Mm. And again, some people might look at this show today and be like, yeah, but Stephen, you're an entrepreneur. Like you talk about not relying on a job and stuff like that. And what's actually fascinating, Dan, is that yes, I am an entrepreneur. I've started multiple companies and all of that. But at the end of the day, now I am an employee, you know, at the end of the day. Like I run the company, whatever. But you know, I technically am an employee. It's in the company that I started. So I've learned something about work over the last few years on this journey. And it's been that, like, I think entrepreneurship is for a lot of people. I don't think it's for everybody though. And I actually think what can bring people even more value, depending on the person, I'm not saying everybody, can be being in a job, in a career where they love and they can add value and they can be like an intrapreneur. So what's been, you know what I mean? Because that's like, I think you're right though. There's way too many what you should do and you should be. And, you know, God knows in the entrepreneur world, there's you should live on a beach like we talked about and sip a mojito or whatever, right? But like that becomes very it becomes very empty after a while. So I love what you're talking about, and I'm sure you had some of that stuff growing up as well. Absolutely. And in your own career, right?
I was actually just wanting to share, you know, some of how this has hit home for me is, you know, I for the longest time didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Going into college, I'm you know, just to take this way back, I'm the youngest of two. My older brother knew exactly what he wanted to do with his life from the time he was 12. He was he's a developer. He runs engineering for a bunch of, you know, for different companies, and that just was super, just fit really well with my family system. My mom's an accountant, my dad's an aerospace engineer, and then I wanted to play music. I wanted to explore photography, and so like I was this creative kid, or this kid with creative hopes and dreams in a family that was, you know, much more maybe linear and logical in their approach to things. And I think in a lot of ways, I have a great family. I love them a lot, but I think in a lot of ways they didn't really know what to do with me. I kind of have this reputation in my family of always doing it my own way, or always doing it the weird way, or whatever might be. And I think that really translated to me really struggling to find a fit because I didn't have a model to follow, and it took a long time. I thought I wanted to be a pastor. I was a pastor. I thought that God had called me to be a pastor, which introduces a whole nother layer of pressure and complications when it comes to, you know, theology and worldview and all these different things. But it took, so I became a youth pastor, did that for 5 years, and it was really, really challenging. And what I learned through that process is, one is that I'm not made to be a pastor, but two is that I was at this retreat in the middle of that time when I was really struggling, and this coach asked me. He said, "You know, who told you that you needed to be a youth pastor?" And it kind of blew my mind. It was kind of the beginning of this unraveling of everything that I thought about myself and my work, because I thought at that point that I was made for this, that God had called me to do this. But really, then I begin to, as I begin to peel back the layers, found that it was actually my youth pastor from the youth ministry that I had been a part of in high school, that was part of his worldview, that ministry was the best thing that you could do with your life. And so then all of a sudden, what I thought was God's voice in my life was actually the voice of a well-intentioned and great, great man, my youth pastor, but also like didn't his guidance didn't serve me well in that way. And so then I had to strip back and say, okay, so if not this, then what? And it took me a long time to sort, you know, one, that I really love these questions of how do we figure out what to do with our lives? But that's not like a job that I could just go and do, right? So then what do I do with that? And then out of that came, just permission, as I did my own work around this, permission that maybe I am just an entrepreneur and I like starting things. I like going out on my own and not just, you know, becoming a career coach, working at a college or whatever it might be, but instead to go out and start my own thing. But I hadn't had a model for it. I hadn't had someone in my life who was like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur from a long lineage of entrepreneurs. It didn't work like that. And it took a long time for me to find that permission to say, maybe this is who I am or part of who I am. And that's okay. And that's a big shift for me to say, it's okay. It's actually really good, because I didn't have a framework that was, I guess you could say, blessing that part of myself, giving, you know, saying that it's good, saying that it's you know, that it's a positive thing.
Do you?
I don't know if that resonates at all.
No,
I'm curious, you know, in your story about, you know,
yeah,
was that shift for you a big thing, or is it something that just grew over time, or did you just always kind of know that you were going to be, you know, entrepreneurial?
Yeah. Well, I played music as a teenager, like yourself, and for me, I said to myself, okay, well, that's what I'm going to do with my life. And while I was there, I started studying business. I did 2 years in business. And basically when I did the 2 years, I became a massive fan of business theory. I read all these really complicated business theory books and kind of fell in love with the whole thing of like the idea of just the idea of business, basically. And so yeah. I did my third year in marketing at nighttime. Band finished up at that time, and I thought, I love business. This is my thing. I get this. And so at that moment, really, in college, I knew I loved marketing, but they were teaching us all, you got to go and become basically, you know, working somewhere. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. And they said, well, we can't help you with that. So that really put me on the thing of, well, I want to do something myself. I don't know quite how it's going to look, but I'm going to go on that journey, just like kind of how you did as well. And yeah. I went on the journey. You know, I was lucky, well, I should say fortunate, in that I was studying a lot of really good personal development work, like Jack Canfield, Success Principles, things like that. And that enabled me to just know to go and find information. I think that's a big thing. Like you were saying, the person asked you who told you to be a pastor or whatever, right? And yeah. It's the same thing. It's like we have these rules, like you said, and I love that, because the rules are usually, I'm going to swear, but not too bad. They're usually bullshit, right? all these rules are, right? They usually are.
Yep.
But they're very convincing, and we do trap ourselves. So it's just interesting what you said. And sometimes it gets to a point, it got to the point for me anyway, where I was working in this job, and I was only young, in my early 20s, but I was depressed. Like I was properly unhappy, and I felt really trapped, because I tried to apply for better jobs, and my mentality was nowhere near what it is today, but I was really trying, and everybody just said, no, you need a degree and all of that. And I just thought, I'm not going to get, this isn't the way for me. I've got to find the other way. So I went the entrepreneurial route, and really Tony Robbins, I think it was, said it, you know, adults really only learn through pain and suffering, unfortunately. children so learn through being told, don't do this, do that. But then we are handed so much stuff down, like you've been saying. And I think it's really good to do the exercise you said. That exercise, in my opinion, is like vital for everybody, even myself. Like I actually was thinking about it as you were saying it, you know, and even though we've all these companies now, and I really do love what I do, you know, there's times you have to review even now what I'm doing, and I will. But anyway, getting back on track, what I wanted to ask you is, you help people figure out what they want to do, and you help them build a career doing that. Would that be accurate or inaccurate? And if it's inaccurate, please yes. let me know.
No, that is accurate. Absolutely.
So with that in mind, then let's go another route, because we went kind of the job route initially. And I think that was valuable enough, because you invariably, some of your clients, I'm sure, figure out, well, it's a particular job I'm going to do. But for the other people, maybe like, you can tell me about that in a sec. Tell us about that in one sec. Well, I'll tell you this and then we'll see where we go. So what I'm thinking is, let's say someone comes to you and they have a particular skill base and they're thinking, you know, is anybody going to pay me for that? Or is there any stuff out there? Like, what would you say to that type of a person to create a career out of something that maybe isn't the obvious way?
Yes, I love it. This is such a good question. So the first thing that you have to realize is that that work is a broad category. And what I mean by that is that I like to zoom out from work being a job, or sometimes I talk about it as a work expression, but to think of work not as just a transaction where you're doing something and getting paid for it, whether it be for your own company or for someone else's company. Like that's one piece of the puzzle. But work is utilization. This is going to sound a little bit technical, but
okay,
but bear with me.
Let's stay with
utilization. Right. Yeah, you're utilizing your agency unto something. So agency meaning your ability to make impact, to make change in the world. Maybe it's a little bit philosophical, you know, that word. But work is at its core is about change. It's about doing something that you know, whether it changes people, whether it creates, you know, it's a creative act, whatever it might be. So we have to zoom out from work being just about a job or about getting money, and think of it as a sense of agency, about making an impact. That's a good word to think, a good way to think about making an impact. So where that impact is data entry into a spreadsheet, or that impact is solving global clean water access or whatever it might be. There's a spectrum there. But if you can zoom out like that, what that does is, if you think then about words like calling and words like purpose or maybe dream job, what I think is really important to realize is that there isn't just one. So if you think about a capital C calling, one place where I get people asking me this question a lot is I had this job that was my calling, and then for whatever reason I can't do that anymore. You know, I worked with this woman who was a nurse, a delivery nurse, and then she had something go wrong with her hands, had a surgery that didn't go well, so she couldn't help deliver babies anymore. And it was just so devastating for her, because she's like, that was my calling. I've worked with other people who are her dancers, ballet dancers in particular. They had pursued this thing for so long and had, you know, done it at a professional level, but then you age out of it, similar with athletes, and you can't do that anymore. And they're like, that was my calling, and now I don't have anything. But if we zoom out and think of that is an expression of your work in the world, and there can be multiple expressions, it again frees up space. So you could think of it as a Venn diagram, right? You have your work in the world, the impact that you're made to make, as a big circle, right? And then you have these overlapping circles. One might be, you know, to use that example of the ballet, a professional ballerina, right? There's parts of that job that really of doing that work. I slip up there. I say job of doing that work. That where there's that overlap between what they do and who they are, but there's other things that can be very similar. And maybe it isn't ballet, but maybe there's something that she's doing as she's out there dancing, as she's bringing something into being in the world that she can also do in another way. Maybe it's about inspiring and moving people emotionally, and that's something that can be done outside of dance. So then for her, she might find a lot of meaning in some other completely different career where she gets to interact with people and invite them into, you know, maybe a transcendent moment, or whatever word she would want to bring to what she's doing on that stage. So it's really important to me that everyone listening understand that, that your calling is not a job. A job is an opportunity to at its best. A job at its best is an opportunity to flex that muscle, put some of that, bring some of that into the world. But in and of itself, they're two fundamentally different things. And so to go back to your question, I know I've gone a lot of places here, but just to bring us full circle. So you've got this weird skill, right? Like that you want to build a career. I want to build a career out of, basket weaving. Like maybe you can do that. And you want to do that because you just love basket weaving, but also basket weaving might not be the easiest thing to build a career around. And so I'm not going to say you can't do it, but I'm going to say we're going to be realistic about this and say, okay, so basket weaving might be the thing that you can create a course on it. Maybe you can teach people how to do it. Maybe you can make really beautiful artistic baskets and you can sell them online and make good money doing that. But then also, like, what is it that basket weaving is doing for you? Like, what is that about for you? Why is that so fun for you? Which really gets at two questions. One is, what is your vision of goodness in the world and hope? And you could use it in terms of like, what is your particular heaven on earth? And what is your particular version of the opposite of pain, of hell? And how is basket weaving either preventing one, the pain, or bringing about the other, the good? And what are the other ways that you can go about that similar kind of movement? So if you can't make your living basket weaving, what is some adjacent career path that you could step into where you get to be a part of those same kinds of things, and but in a way that's easier to monetize and easier to pay the bills? And it's okay if there isn't a great crossover there, that's fine. So then let's go back to those four P's that we talked about earlier. And what's a great place where you can work with people that you love, doing work that's that's fun for you and that profits you well, so that then you can basket weave in your nights and evenings and weekends and have a lot of fun doing that thing, but not asking it to pay the bills. I know in Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic, she talks about how she would never demand that her writing supports herself, which I think is easy. It's easier for her to say as a super successful writer, but I think that's a really interesting idea that as a creative, as an artist, for her, it was really important to keep those two things, somewhat separate. To before she was, a successful writer, to have something else that was paying the bills, so that then her writing could have the freedom of expression that where she didn't have to worry about it being a blockbuster hit or whatever it might be. And maybe your skill, falls into that category. I don't know, but you have to get into more the specifics about what it is that you're bringing to the table and where you want to go with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I think the biggest thing I took away from that, a lot of things, but the real standout thing for me there is this idea that you're expressing certain things. Even taking the basket weaving, let's say that wasn't like financially viable, but you were expressing something, right? Creativity or whatever the case may be. So then I think that question of, well, what are other ways I can express creativity that are financially, more sensible, is a great question. And that's something we can all ask ourselves. I learned something. I don't know what you think of this. I'll say this as we start to wrap up today, but one of the things that I learned, Dan, was really valuable to me personally, is I did a strengths finder test years ago from a book, Now Find Your Strengths, I think it was called, or Focus on Your Strengths.
Now Discover Your Strengths. Yes, it's great.
Discover Your Strengths. Thank you. So I'm a huge reader, as I'm sure you are. I think it sounds like you are as well. So that's great. Mm-hmm. But I read this book when I was working in my job years and years ago, maybe 12 years ago now. And when I read it, it gave me, I think it was five different strengths at the back. And I can't remember all five exactly, but I remember communication, woo, influence. Mm. These were all like the three main ones I remember. There was a couple of other ones as well. I just cannot think what they were. But the point anyway was, at that time, I was not expressing any of those strengths of mine in the job that I was in. And as I've gone forward in my career, I've had the opportunity to craft a career around myself where I am expressing the things I'm strongest at all the time, communication, influence, things of that nature. And that's what changed my whole life, getting to that point. That took time, but I feel that that message of expressing expressions that are important to you, but also then looking at your actual human strengths and understanding your personality type, when you put those together, you get almost like a blueprint for success in work. And that has helped me a lot. I just wanted to add that in there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And what's can be really, really helpful with assessments like that is to see, you know, where the gaps might be in your current work. They typically don't like answer the existential questions of like, you know, why do I exist? But they do say, they do help you see, oh wait, there's some gaps here that I need to lean into, or changes that I could make, where maybe, you know, maybe you're not, you know, able to use your woo because you're, you know, behind a computer all the time and not actually interacting with people. And so then you can think about, okay, well, maybe I could just change your, incorporate a few hours a day of more customer facing work, or whatever it might be. And you can make these small changes to your work that can have a huge impact. And assessments like that can really help you bring that awareness of where some of those changes should be made.
Yeah, no, big time. Well, I think this is a great interview. I mean, I took a lot away myself today. So I really want to thank you for your time, for the great ideas you shared and exercises as well. I really want to encourage people to go and do. And just for anybody that's listening here in our community who's thinking, yeah, I want some more Dan Cumberland in my life, where can they go? Where can they go?
I love it. Well, I have a podcast called The Meaning Movement, where I mostly interview people around their work journeys and figure out how they find out how they navigate these kind of big questions, especially around transitions, job transitions, work transitions. It's just called The Meaning Movement. So wherever you're listening to this podcast, would love to have you jump over, hit play over there and subscribe. I also have just a short mini course I'd like to invite people to take called 5 Clues to Your Calling. You can find that at thecallingcourse.com. is totally free, and it's in a very digestible format. Just these short emails with some prompts. I try to keep things short so they don't take up too much time, but give you some good stuff to think about, and then just a couple, you know, prompts to kind of further explore. So you can find that at thecallingcourse.com.
You'll see how good looking Dan is when you go over there as well. That's a big bonus for everybody. So, a massive thank you to Dan today as our great guest. I really enjoyed today's talk. And Dan, who knows, maybe I'll see you over in your podcast one day.
I would love that. That would be so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in.